everybody. Welcome to the Patient Players Podcast. This is episode 69 of the Patient Players Podcast. You're listening to the February the 3rd edition. I am your host, Daniel, joined by my wonderful co-host, Jordan. How are you doing, Jordan?
Hi. Yeah, I know how to produce things. Everything's fine.
I'm my wonderful co-host and master producer, who could never do whatever it is he just did. What did you do?
I was so confident, and I was like, here we go. It wasn't me. I will say, it wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have video for like 10 seconds. It was just blank squares. But that's okay, because this is an audio podcast.
So. This is an audio podcast. Well, okay. If you didn't know this, dear listeners, you can typically hear the podcast live and see our beautiful faces on the video over at twitch.tv/patientplayers every weekend. You can also see us over on YouTube or join the Discord, all sorts of things at patientplayers.com/social. Today is a little different. Our schedule's a little shifted around there. If you've been following the podcast, there were some pretty major events in my life over the last few weeks. There is more info on that we've shared in a separate post on both the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel as an archive. So if you only follow the podcast live, I don't know why I'm telling you this, because this isn't live, so you're not even listening to this. But if you're somehow hearing this podcast,
if you're outside our windows right now,
if you've not followed us through YouTube or one of the podcast RSS feed channels, go ahead and look back directly before this episode. You'll get a little more context as to what's going on. But in the meantime, this is a podcast about video games, that we like to talk about video games. We talk about gaming in the slow lane here, where we enjoy updates to our favorite games from the past, or maybe we'll rediscover some old classic game we never got to try or get something on sale. Whatever the case may be, that is what this podcast is all about. So if you like video games and you like hearing people talk about video games, you're in the right place. At the end of our topics today, we will go over the question and answer section of the podcast, which is the best part of the podcast, where we answer your questions. Dear listener, we typically do answer live when we're streaming live, but we can also do questions through our email at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Again, remember, it's patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. You can send in questions about gaming, about anything. We will answer them for you in comedic style.
Comedic style? I don't know what you're talking about. I answer all the questions truthfully, wholeheartedly, and lawyerly.
Mm-hmm. That's your attempt at doing so is what's funny.
Well, that's just rude. No, I'm not saying you suck on accident. I'm just saying you suck. But in a funny way, so it's okay.
I mean, isn't that why we're here? We just, patient players, we suck in a funny way.
We suck love.
You know what? We suck in a funny way might actually be a better tagline after, you know, the year and a half we've been doing this podcast.
I actually really like that. Patient Players Podcast. We suck in a funny way.
We'll put that on the drawing board.
Yeah, we'll think our next meeting.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one, because you know what? We will never stop doing love. And so at Patient Players, we do love, if you don't know this. What topics you got for me today, Jordan? What's been going on in the... Oh, before we do that, what's going on in your life? How you been?
I've been good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks again to Keaton for joining us as a guest star last week. You haven't listened to the first part of that.
No, I managed to catch... I think you'll even... If you go listen to episode 68, I think I even pop up as a little bit of the live Twitch chat towards the end there. Because I did manage to catch the tail end, but I could not be there for the recording.
That's right. So, yes, if you watch our videos on YouTube, you can see Twitch chat now on the video.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes me also interacting with them when I'm not supposed to.
Because you're supposed to be focusing on the podcast and being funny.
Yeah.
And not leaving your co-host high and dry.
You're like,
while you argue about Animal Crossing.
Jordan? Yeah, what? Sorry. Oh, sorry. I was in chat. Yeah. Well, that's not a problem this episode, because we're not live, you know? Maybe for your wife, actually. She could be like outside your door, just like...
She could be. She's not. She's like watching a movie or something.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't care
also,
that much.
Yeah, she could only hear half of it, so that would be like the worst possible way to listen live.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So anyways, Keaton was awesome for filling in. You're sore?
I'm sore.
Like a dinosaur? Sore, or like your Jordan sore?
Like a muscle sore.
Oh, muscular soreness.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. I just had to say that. You know, there's usually a Jordan of the day. Today's day is Jordan sore day.
Is it because your muscles are so tired from just carrying this podcast last week when I wasn't here?
Not quite.
Okay. What is the reason for your soreness?
I picked up Ring Fit Adventure again.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait, you already owned it. But you started
yes,
it up again.
I started up again. Yes.
Okay.
And it did not hesitate to be like, wow, it's been a while since we've seen you.
Just laying into you.
Uh-huh. Did that come out in like September or something? Maybe before September?
Of 2020 or 2019? It came out in 2019.
No.
Yes, Ring Fit came out in the year 2019.
No way.
Yeah, I guarantee you it did. And then it was already out when the pandemic started.
Oh no, October 2019.
Yes. So you're almost right. It was almost September, but a lot longer than you thought.
That's insane. Okay, well yeah. I played it once when I got it back in 2019.
Once?
Maybe twice. I think I picked it up the next day.
Okay.
Wow, I can't believe that. So I got on again today, and you know, uh-huh. like almost a year and a half later. Jeez Louise.
And it was like, wait, who are you?
Exactly. Oh my word. But anyways, you know, I was a glutton for some kale and punishment, if you remember that episode.
I do remember that episode. You were so thrilled about Ring Fit. I forgot how excited you were about it.
I was. And actually in that episode, I was like, what dissuaded me from continuing to play was that it was so hard. And obviously exercising is supposed to be hard, but mm-hmm. it was like too hard, you know?
Okay. Uh-huh. But there's like a difficulty slider. Did you just change that?
Yes. So that was the plan. I never actually went through with that plan until today. I hopped on and it's like, we haven't seen you in forever. Like, is the difficulty still fine? And I said, no, bump it down a little bit.
And was that better?
Yes. It was still, good. It was not like easy. It was right. Like, I was still, like I said, I'm sore. I'm a Jordan sore right now. But it was like, it was doable. Last time, mm-hmm. like halfway through the game, I would just like face plant on the ground, like during some like leg workout. I'm just like, I'm done. I'm so out of shape. But this time I made it through.
I got a webcomic I got to send you after the podcast that is talking about Ring Fit. Shout out to the webcomic Awkward Zombie, but the gist of it is like awkward or that Ring Fit is like the first turn-based RPG where you actually need to take time between your turns because you're just too exhausted to take your next turn.
Uh-huh.
It's like I physically can't select the next move. I need a breather.
That's great. Yeah, at one point it was like, is the hardware working properly? And I was like, mine isn't. Like, this thing's working fine. I was tired. Yep. But hashtag relevant awkward zombie? Is that how that goes?
I don't think so. That's not, there's not quite as many out there that it can be as relevant as some of the other comics.
Oh, okay. I tried.
So I've been talking about Ring Fit this week because there's me and my wife are wanting to do some exercise stuff and she's been having difficulty with one of her legs where we're getting her knee fixed with some medical
tape
stuff.
Glue.
Yes. And
duct tape.
There's not a lot you can do without using your legs to get your heart rate up. And so we were talking about Ring Fit and she was like, yeah, but Ring Fit has so many squats and like, mm-hmm. I can't do that. But they have those focused workouts. Not if you're not playing the campaign, you can do like a focused workout. And I was suggesting we look at just doing like arm and ab workouts.
Yeah.
So we haven't done that yet. But I was already thinking about picking back up. So if you're playing it now,
dude,
now
that's I'm hilarious.
Like, we gotta beat it together, right? We gotta like compete at it now.
Oh my word, that is so and funny. Then, the same week, yeah, I set like a, you know, at some point in the past year and a half, I guess, they added like new content to it. Do you mm-hmm. remember that?
I remember they've added like New Game Plus and they've added like the dancing mode
yes.
thing.
Yeah. So yes. I booted it up and I was like, you know, I'm going to try this music mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically a rock band, but with abs, if you will, and arm stretches.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. And I got a flawless high score on my first try.
Ooh.
But, you know, it showed
that sounds too easy.
Yeah, obviously. Because I did only the upper half. Because you can choose. You say, I want either the upper half only or like also the legs. So I only did the upper half. And at the end, it's like, here's all your friend's high score. And it's just blank. And I'm like, okay, first place. Yeah, I did it.
Well, and we are also friends on the Apple Watch system, right? So like when we work out, it'll like ping each other.
Yes.
But I think you have yours turned off, don't you? Because I never get yours anymore.
Yeah, that's why. It's because I turned it off.
No. Because I specifically remember a moment where you like had a, you got an achievement. And it told me about your achievement, but I hadn't seen any workouts or anything. I know that you, it was because you weren't working out.
Okay.
But you definitely got an achievement at some point. And I was like, it hasn't told me about anything he's been doing.
You know, I think your wife still gets them. And I don't think you can turn it off like per person. So maybe you have it turned off. Maybe you got sick of seeing other people's.
Maybe
workout. Have you gotten anyone else's lately?
I have to remember. I'll come back to you on that one next week. We'll talk about sending each other workouts.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh, that's why you come to the Patient Players podcast.
I love that. In the workouts on the Apple Watch, there's a gaming fitness option.
They've added that? Really?
Yeah.
I always used to just do other when I would play Beat Saber.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Okay. Beat Saber. Yeah.
I would. Yeah. Beat Saber is a great thing for your heart rate. Now I got to look at this.
It's something along those lines, but I remember seeing it and being like, oh, perfect for Ring Fit.
So there's like a core group of them that they have, and then, oh, that's cool. And then they have like a huge list now that you can, okay. Little did I know, Apple Watch has a bunch of cool workout stuff.
Yeah,
little anyways, did I know, Apple Watch video games,
good for fitness.
Not working your body, we're talking about sitting in a chair, being a lump, and playing some video games.
My favorite exercise. So good.
I have been playing some video games. Again, there's some context that you'll need that previous section from the podcast to understand. But I have been out of my home for a bit and sitting around a lot, needing just to play some games, just to get away from the world for a little bit, just to relax. So I had my Switch basically all week. That's all I had. And I have two games that I can talk about because that's basically all I played. But I played them a bunch. One of them is a little weird. It's brand new.
Oh,
it's not an on sale game. It's not my typical Patient Players game. I did buy it on sale because it had a pre-order. Okay. I know this sounds horrible. It had like a pre-order discount of 20%. And I was like, I'll try it out on a whim. It's only $20. This is the game that they just announced in the most recent Nintendo third party direct from Yacht Club Games, the developers behind Shovel Knight. It is called Cyber Shadow.
I have no idea what this is. I actually have no idea. I watched that direct, but I have no memory of what this is.
That's strange, because I sent you the game the day that I bought it, and I said, hey, this is on sale if you want to get it for another 2 days.
I don't remember that.
It's called Cyber Shadow, and it is from the Shovel Knight people. It's the same style of artwork and music and everything. It's like a recreation of your 16-bit game. But instead of being about a medieval knight that hits people with a shovel, you are a robot ninja that hits people with a ninja sword. And that's very much my style. And so I was like, hey, this seems fun, and I like Shovel Knight, and I bet you that the people who made Shovel Knight can make a fun 8-bit or 16-bit ninja game.
Oh, so definitely.
I'm not going to wait for this. I'm just going to pay for it because of my life circumstances. I'm just kind of sitting around wanting to try something. So, you know what? I don't care. I'll just buy this game, even though I would normally wait for the reviews. And my feelings are very mixed.
Oh.
I
was not ready for any of this. This is like really catching me off guard.
I didn't expect to be... I expected to either think it was going to be awesome because it looked like it would be awesome, or... I was all ready to be disappointed because, like, the first couple levels, I'm not going to lie, they were a little bad. Not because the levels were bad, but because there's only two mechanics. There is jump and swing your sword. And that was just the enemy attack pattern specifically. Like, here's what got me. When you're jumping around as a ninja swinging your sword, it just swings in front of you. And in Shovel Knight, you swing your sword and your shovel in front of you, but then you have like that cool little moon bounce thing where you put your shovel down. And that was like half of what made Shovel Knight great. And there's nothing like that. And so they have all these enemies that will specifically swirl around you and come at you from above or below. And they're incredibly frustrating because you can't swing above or below. And so you have to like perfectly run away from them and then turn around and slash them, or like jump at the right time and slash them in midair. There's like really difficult ways to deal with these enemies. And when you're in tight corridors, sometimes there's just not. Sometimes you just get hit, or maybe I'm just not good enough, but it's very hard. Like, I die multiple times every level.
Was their goal to make it like so retro that it's like a poorly designed like NES game or something, you know, like just bad controls?
So
that's
there
what
are
it sounds
things,
like
there are things in the game that solve that problem later in the game.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I mixed on it, because I was like not really enjoying it. And then they start trickling in like some new abilities and some new game mechanics, and like they started making the game way more fun. But they are trickling in these abilities the entire game. Like, I think I'm on the second to last level right now. And I just got like, I think, the last ability. So like they give you stuff throughout the entire game, and each one is cool, and it makes the game more fun, and it makes the game cooler. But having to play through half the game, you know, without some of these cool abilities is kind of annoying. So like, if the whole game was like the game I'm playing now, I would think it's pretty fun. Very, very good ninja, you know, old school game. I'm really enjoying it. But I kind of didn't like the first few levels. And okay, and here's like this elephant in the room I have not mentioned yet, and it's like this cloud over the whole discussion, is that it is a fantastic ninja game. However, at every point, I have sat and I've thought, I don't know if it's as good as The Messenger, which I just played.
Yeah,
like sometime back in, I guess it's been like 6 months or so. I mean, you can go find, it's in the name of the podcast episode where we talked about it. So I really liked that game. I, in fact, never finished it, and I was just playing this game has made me want to go back and finish The Messenger.
And, oh, I forgot you didn't finish Messenger.
Yeah, because the game opens up to a different style of game partway through, and I never finished that second part. But yeah, like the movement in The Messenger was similar, but it had like where if you hit something in midair, you could double jump, and then it had like all sorts of stuff. And like some pretty minor spoilers about Cyber Shadow, like you do eventually get a wall climb and a wall jump, and you do eventually get, you know, like a little dash thing. But like, they're harder to get and they're harder to activate than in Messenger. So you just feel less mobile in Cyber Shadow. And it just made me want to go back and play The Messenger, honestly. And I was like, it's a good game, but The Messenger's on Switch, isn't it?
I would be surprised if it isn't. Is that not where you played it?
I played it using Xbox Game Pass for PC.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it definitely is on Nintendo Switch. I'm looking at it right now on Nintendo's website. So basically, like, it's really hard to recommend this game if you haven't already played The Messenger and want more ninja game. Because if you want to play a game like Cyber Shadow, so far, I haven't beaten the game, but so far, I liked Messenger better. I liked the music better. I liked the world better. I liked the mechanics better. So, like, I don't know what to say at this point. I feel weird. Like,
I think you just played them in the wrong order, it sounds like, you know? You've got to start out with the appetizer and then go to the meal. You don't want that chicken and dumpling soup after you had, like, a well-made steak fillet, whatever they're called.
It's so strange to me that, like, it's very, very similar to Shovel Knight, and they do a lot of things right. But just not having that little bounce mechanic takes away from the first half of the game, and all the mechanics they add in its place are really cool, but they take a while to unlock. And like the dash, for example, the dash is like you have to be sprinting in order to dash, and so you can't just like, oh, I need to dash here and hit a button and dash. You have to prepare for it. You have to sprint in advance and then jump and then do a dash. And like, it makes it so that it's harder to pull off like complicated jumps, and so it's more of a challenge if you like that kind of thing. But
I usually do,
and like the boss fights are really hard. Like, it's been a while since I've played a game that just really respects difficulty, and this one does. So I'm not disliking it by any means. I'm just a little disappointed So that's what I mean when I say I have mixed feelings about Cyber Shadow, but good I have played night. A lot of it.
I'm curious to see what the general consensus is on this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, and it's like, it's level by level, but it's not strictly level by level like Shovel Knight is. Like, the levels do interconnect somewhat, so it's like Metroidvania light. Like, the levels do have an order you have to play them in, and they're numbered, and you go from one to one, and there's a story with cutscenes and stuff. But, like, every once in a while, you'll be coming from level 7 on your way to level 8, and you'll just, like, pass through level 4, but now you can double jump or whatever. Whoa. And so now you can get to the secret area that takes you to the new level. But you're not, like, spending extended amounts of time in old levels finding secrets. You're just, like, passing through them occasionally.
Okay.
It's very weird.
Interesting. I'm looking at reviews just because I'm curious if people like it.
What reviews are you looking at? Are you looking like
Steam?
Oh, see, what's the Steam current score as of today?
It is mostly positive.
Okay.
Yeah, and like some people are kind of praising it for like this is like a retro game where like the hitbacks are or the knockbacks are terrible. The hitboxes are terrible. The precision is terrible, you know? So I guess it is kind of like you want to play a new old game with terrible controls to put you back in it.
Everything about this game, I feel like, could have been on, like, the NES. Like, it's...
Interesting.
Maybe not the NES. Maybe the Super Nintendo, but, like, it's very retro. And, like they were saying in that review, like, the knockbacks, you know, there's a dozen times where I have been at full health. I've jumped over a gap, and then like a projectile will hit me, and I will get knocked back into the gap and insta die.
Oh no! Yeah, that's crazy.
One thing I will give this game props for over Shovel Knight is that there is no death penalty, and the respawn is almost instantaneous.
Oh, okay.
And the death animation is really cool. So sometimes you're like, all right.
Really, I just wanted to see it again. You know, that was on purpose. Yeah.
Your cyber ninja like bursts into like electricity and his scream is like rah! And then you're just like whoop and you're back and you're like all right okay let's keep going.
That's awesome. Is there like I wonder if there's like a new game plus where you get to keep all the abilities? Maybe that would make it more fun to fix the problem you're talking about. I doubt it, but I feel like that would be a good solution. Maybe,
possibly. Yeah. Oh, well, the other thing is I have not seen anything in the game to indicate multiplayer, which Shovel Knight had.
Oh, I forgot Shovel Knight has multiplayer. Yeah. I never got on the Shovel Knight bandwagon.
I did eventually go back and beat Shovel Knight, and I really like it.
Oh, okay.
And I started the Spectre Knight DLC, and I started liking that, but I was kind of tired of playing all of Shovel Knight, so I waited and never came back to it. Mm-hmm. But I have the whole Treasure Trove collection on my Switch.
Interesting. Yeah, I just couldn't do it. The graphics are too old. I don't like old things. I don't know what it is. Even since I was a young boy, like even movies that were like black and white or had just like that grainy feel, I'd be like, eh, ugh.
You need to be modern. You need to never be reminded of your decrepit aging body.
Give me that good stuff, that modern, good, delicious stuff.
Which, oh, yes, because in this modern age where everything is perfection.
Yes. Oh, my word. If anything, it's been making me think a lot. I'm like, wow, they... did like this blows my mind to this day. They did such a good job, and I'm talking about movies, of making Star Wars a modern movie, you know, like Episode 4. Like, this movie came out in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
You look at clips from when it actually came out, you know, you're like, ugh, this is like old stuff. But now you like watch it now, and it's like been remastered like 5 times over, and like stuff has been put in. You're like, oh yeah, I forget this movie came out like, how many years ago was that? Like 50 years ago?
Yeah. That's crazy. Not quite, but almost 50 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Long time.
That is nuts. So there was one last thing I wanted to say on Cyber Shadow before I move on, is that I really dislike games that give you a special ability with a with ammo.
Okay. Limited use abilities?
Yeah. Now, there are some exceptions, like I think Sekiro, I didn't ever use the bonus abilities in Sekiro until I was later in the game and I started to see how useful they could be in very specific circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, now I understand why they're limited. And I think the game was really well balanced around that. But with Cyber Shadow and Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight had this too. You had that magic meter. So it's like, okay, here's the things you can do in that game. You can jump and you can swing your shovel and you can point it down. Now, there's also like a bunch of really cool stuff you can do, like make a little rolling platform. You can shoot fireballs. You can throw an item that hits enemies and turns them into money. Like all of these cool things, but they all require this mana that is like you run out really fast and you have to kill enemies to get more.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't just like use it freely. You just kind of like sparingly use it when you need to solve a puzzle or something. And Cyber Shadow has the same problem where it's like, okay, yeah, you have like a plunge dive stab attack. And
oh,
yeah, you
that
have
sounds
like
cool.
And you have all these cool, like even the dash takes the ammo.
What?
Yeah. So it's like the things you can do without spending ammo in that game is like move, climb walls, jump, and like slash things. And that's basically it.
How many uses do you get of each of the things? I assume they're all like one pool of ammo.
Yes. Yeah, it's one pool. So each thing takes one charge, and then you start off with like five or six charges.
Okay.
And then as you kill enemies, you know, they'll drop replenishing stuff. And then through the game, if you find secret rooms, you can get like bonus charges.
Interesting. That wow, that's you mentioned the boss fights being hard. I would imagine if you have like a certain amount of times you can do special moves.
Yes. Yes. It does add a mechanic where like there can be ways to replenish mid boss fight, and so So it's kind of cool. The one thing that doesn't require charges is you do get a reflect at one point, and that is super cool.
Ooh.
And I use that all the time. Okay, I kind of like how that one does it. So most games, like Messenger, did this where there were certain bullets you could reflect by slashing at them, right? And that's how you expect it to work. But no, you have to tap the movement key towards the projectile to reflect it. So you can't holding it. No, you can't be holding it. You have to let go of the movement key, tap it, and then let go again really fast in order to reflect it. Which means that if you mistimed it, you're walking into the projectile.
Mm.
So you have to be good at timing it, or else you're literally just throwing your body at it.
Wow. That's what I call risking it for the biscuit.
Yes.
If you will.
And that one doesn't require a charge. So, like, I do it all the time, and it's so satisfying. It's mm-hmm. great.
The ninja biscuit.
So I think it's a good game overall. I would agree with the Steam reviews, mostly positive, but, like, that it's the Messenger's a good game, and it's hard to make a game that's just like the Messenger and not be as good as the Messenger.
I kind of want to play the Messenger.
It's good.
A little bit.
Maybe play Cyber Shadow first if you're going to play it.
Well, before both of those, I'm definitely going to play Hades first, because that is still on my list. I have not played it yet, so don't get your hopes up. No, but like it's I can hear it calling out to me occasionally. Like it's starting to get on my mind a little bit. But usually it just gets overwhelmed with, I also have Animal Crossing I can play.
Have you seen footage and everything of it yet?
No, I haven't.
What if we just like listen to the music together and just got you hyped up?
I am actually excited to fall in love with the music, you know?
Okay.
Like it's so rare that you find something that you know is going to be good and you know nothing about it. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, I want to save that little nugget for when I need it. Cause I don't need that right now.
Okay.
But it's like it's exciting of how good it's going to be when I finally get to delve into its nuggetness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a little delicious, fiery nuggets from hell, if you will.
All right. Before I go into any other topics, what topics you got for me?
Well, I did just mention Animal Crossing. It's been calling out to me.
Okay. While I've been playing my Cyber Shadow on Switch, I've seen you jump on Animal Crossing a few times.
Yes. So you know, I have my Switch and I'm a Switch Lite, and I leave my Switch Lite at my girlfriend's house, and she has
Jordan,
yes.
Don't tell me you started over.
She has her own island on the Switch Lite.
There is no New Game Plus.
I found New Game Plus in Animal Crossing.
Oh no.
But it's amazing. I'm having so much fun. Like, it's actually very sad. The fun part in Animal Crossing is setting up the game, you know?
Like, wait, what?
Like, when you play Animal Crossing, you have to play it for like a few weeks to unlock the shops. You know, mm-hmm. you can't, like, go over the water. You can't climb mm-hmm. up cliffs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fun. Waking up every day, like, oh, today I gotta build a museum. Today I have to go find and donate stuff to upgrade the museum, to build a bridge. Like, that is the fun part. So when I've been going over to her house, I've been, like, pulling out the Switch Lite, and I made a character on her island.
And you're just playing the game for her, and you're robbing her of all of that fun?
No, because she does not like it at all. Like, not even in the slightest. It breaks my heart. I got her to play it one night. I was over there, and literally she spent, like, the whole time smacking someone with a net. Like, oh, this game is kind of fun, you know? And it was just like, you don't have to add salt to the wound. Like, no, I'm enjoying this now. Whack, whack. I'm like, no. Like, I was just like, okay, I think you're done now. I don't think that's enough Animal Crossing for today. Oh, look, and she likes building snowmen. So,
okay. Well, when they rip that out of her hands in like 2 months or whenever they're going to take that feature away.
On the 24th is when the snow goes away. Yeah. But yeah, it's not her game. I've accepted that at this point.
And so now she's just a spare island to store all of your turnips on.
Not necessarily, you know, like there's a really, when it comes to me in games, I like to collect everything, you know, I like yes. to have everything. It's very obsessive.
Yes.
My sister described it once when I was playing Animal Crossing. She says, the way you play games is exhausting. And I'm like, well, I'm having fun. But this time around, you know, I have everything. So it's like, I have like that internal feeling to be free to mm-hmm. enjoy it and not like, oh, I have to do this and this and this before time goes away. It's like, I just don't care because I already mm-hmm. did all that. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm having so much fun playing Animal Crossing New Game Plus. However, mm-hmm. there's a massive butt in the room. There's a massive elephant with an elephant butt.
Okay, but elephant butt.
I don't understand why the game is like only tailored to being player one. Because my girlfriend made the island, I'm player mm-hmm. two, and you can't do nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You can't do diddly squat. At one point, like you can talk to Tom Nook and he'll tell you what to do next to like progress the story. Mm-hmm. Like every single time he's just like, I don't know, just have fun. It's like, no, I want to like build stuff. At one point he was like, you should talk to Miranda because she needs to build these things. And it's like, it is literally telling me to talk to someone in real life to continue the game.
How dare they tell you to talk with someone in real life?
But that is so...
No, but I agree. That's awful. That's awful.
So funny that it like called her out. But like, because you can't talk to them in the game because you're on the same island. So it's literally saying... Yeah, just go bug them in real life until they finish the island for you.
You, like, leave them passive-aggressive mail.
I do not understand why it's one island per Switch and everyone has a shared island. It would have been just so much better if you could do your own island per person. But
I have some arguments to make at you about why Animal Crossing is a horrible game.
Oh, wow. That is extreme words. I wouldn't go that far. So it's not as good as New Leaf, but it's still a good game. You haven't played it.
There are statements. There's a statement that I have said so many times, and I'm going to say it again here. And mm-hmm. I think everything you just said proves my point beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Animal Crossing is a game full of inconveniences. And as soon as you strip away those inconveniences, there is no game left. The game is just the inconveniences.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, you're sitting here telling me like, oh yeah, not being able to go across the water and having to wait a whole day to get the museum is the most fun part of this game. It's like, as soon as you remove these inconveniences, you're like, there's not much to do in the game anymore. It's like, yes, because all the game is just waiting for stuff to happen.
But it's fun to wait for stuff to happen. And then I go back to my island and I'm just like, there's nothing to wait for. You know, I got all the fish, all the bugs, all the fossils. I'm waiting for March to roll around to get the last two sea creatures. Then my museum will be complete. Oh, all the art, almost all the DIYs. All the
bugs and everything. Wow. and it's so astounding to me because like, I don't think anyone in the world will argue that this Animal Crossing is well made at all, because not only is there the complaints about like the amount of content or the updates rolling out slowly or the amount of upgrades of the
buildings.
Oh, don't
even get me started. I hadn't gotten there yet.
Now, hold on. On top of all of that, just think about the basics, like you were complaining about multiplayer on the same Switch. That is huge. That is enough to ruin a game for some people. And, like, it has ruined the game for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The online is
Remember the
atrocious.
Time we talked about, like, okay, this like, the parents being like, okay, Timmy gets this side of the island, and Johnny has to get that side, and they have to...
But then Johnny has to ask Timmy to do all the important things on the island! Like,
yeah.
This is horrible. They have literally ruined this game for people playing on the same Switch. And then there's online. Like, you deal with the online regularly, like, the...
Not anymore. I'm so glad
The dozens of chat boxes, the errors with the menus, the disconnections, like, that game is horrible. Like, it's just technically, just from a design standpoint, it's horrible, but it's still so fun, and people love it so much that it, like, rocketed in popularity through all of last year and still into this year.
Greatly, and thanks to COVID, in part to COVID. Like,
right,
it couldn't have come out at a better time.
Imagine a world in which Animal Crossing has normal, everyday online parties where it has the ability to have multiple islands and multiple characters, right? Like, those two changes alone would make it infinitely better.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would totally play it at that point. And then it's like, okay, then add on top of that, what if there was just, like, a few compelling gameplay loops that weren't completely pointless? like... a few really fun mini games, or like something you could compete at with other people, or
people
something like.
Have been crying out because guess what? New Leaf had mini games. It had like a party island you could go to do stuff once you've like beaten the game.
Yeah.
This one, oh my word! And then they promised, you know, they promised like, oh, we're going to add content for years after this game came out. Last update was I think early December. It's been like 2 months. People are so excited. What are they going to add next? Oh my goodness, it's been so long. They dropped the video like last week. Did you see it?
Yes.
Yay, we're adding.
Tell the people.
We're adding a little feather catching day. One day of February. Tune in to March for our next update. Excuse me, what? We waited 2 months.
Don't pay attention to this. Look at this dancing peacock. Don't pay attention to any of this. Look how he dances.
Oh, my word. The dislikes in the comments and, like, on the video were just off the chart. They're like, we waited 2 months for a one-day event where literally all you do is walk around and catch feathers with a net. Congratulations. One day of the month. And if you miss it, it's gone.
And guess what? Halfway through catching feathers, your net's going to break.
Yeah. I thought about that. I'm like, I'm going to have to buy like 5 nets because my golden net is still... I don't want to waste it because gold is so hard to find. I don't want to...
This gameplay loop is flawless.
I want them to make it good. I hope they're working... Like, what else could they be working on for 2 months? Working on, like, the next big thing for it.
I don't know.
And I know it's not going to happen because it's Nintendo.
It's a bad game. It's okay to love a bad game, but you have to admit it's a bad game.
I still wouldn't call it a bad game. Like, the building... I will say, the building your island part is... phenomenal. Like,
okay.
I feel like that's where all the resources went when making this game. They said, Animal Crossing, what? No, this is build your island game, and then you wait like a month to get to that point. You build it, you're like, that was fun. Oh no, I'm done.
So it's like Happy Home Designer, but for the outside.
Yes, like that is so cool. Again, the problem is, once you build your island, you're done. Unless you want to redo the entire thing, which takes so long. You know, what could they have done? They could have given you like a bunch of extra islands to edit. They could have made it better, like edit tools. Could have made it a cool like share function, which they eventually.
What if they did make it like Happy Home Designer, where you have to design other people's islands to meet their criteria?
Oh, that would be amazing. And you could be like repeatable content because there's like 700 villagers.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh, here's a villager I don't like. I'm gonna fill Gruff's island with garbage and skeletons and like. Like, these are ideas that you and I can just throw out there. Like, somebody has had these ideas and they got turned down.
Yeah.
It's not a good game. Okay, anyways, we're going to spend too long talking about Animal Crossing.
Like, you could replace the water with, like, lava to give your island, like, some theme. Oh. Or, like, flowing sand.
Well, except you run into the problem with the dive suit at that point.
Oh, well, yeah. Or fish. But what some people have done is, you know, you can place down, like, sand paths. And they're like, I want to customize my island. So they'll fill the entire thing with sand paths to make it look like a desert. Yeah. But even then, every corner has like grass in between it because they don't want you actually making like the desert, changing the ground. So anywhere there's like a building or like where the beach meets the land,
there's just like tufts of grass around the
and
sand.
So it looks terrible. And it's like, boy, wouldn't that have been cool if I'd been like set island to desert? Whoa, that would have been so cool. Now I have like an actual island I can customize.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm sorry.
It's fine. It makes sense. What I keep telling myself, it's their first. It's actually not.
It's not their first console.
I was about to say, yeah.
They made one already.
They've made two, I guess.
GameCube and Wii. Yeah. This is not their first shot at any of this. Being able to put furniture on the island was cool. That's, you know, there you go. That's one point as opposed to the 90 negative ones we just said.
Yeah. The graphics were butts on those last two. So maybe a lot more resources go to making like models and stuff.
Music is cool.
Music is, yeah. Even the music, great. Yeah, even the music is nice, but it's so repetitive and annoying. And you know how easy it would be to be like, hey, buy this record and you can play music from the Wii one or the DS one to make things.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Okay, all right, we're done.
We have to move on. Okay, we have at least one more big topic and we're going to run out of time if we don't hit it right now. We played Yu-Gi-Oh!
We did. I bought Yu-Gi-Oh!
You bought Yu-Gi-Oh! And you didn't tell me you bought Yu-Gi-Oh! Until you were like, oh, I bought Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was like, whoa. And then we played it. And we played Yu-Gi-Oh! I also played with Sam, who's one of the friends of our podcast here.
Yes, he also bought Yu-Gi-Oh!
He also bought Yu-Gi-Oh! Now, I have, like, bare minimum experience with the show and a lot of experience with the games. Sam has a lot of experience with the show and a little bit of experience with the games. And you have no experience with either. So this has been a very weird little combo of, like, me teaching Sam things about this game when he knows about Yu-Gi-Oh! And then trying to teach you things about Yu-Gi-Oh! In general.
When I already hate animes.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's the anime part of that game doesn't really matter that much.
It's really off-putting, though.
Why is that?
It's just not a style I like.
Just the art?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, it's such a petty thing to say, but, I don't play like JRPGs or just like the I literally get triggered when they have the hair that just like sticks out like a peacock feather or something.
And Yu-Gi-Oh! Has the worst I've ever seen. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is the license that has the most over the top hair on characters ever. I don't know why.
That's true. I don't think it bothered me that much in that game. For some reason, what's the Disney one?
Kingdom Hearts.
I hate it. That triggers me so much. I would love Kingdom Hearts if they took out all the anime weeboo stuff.
Would be no game left. There would be no game left without the anime in that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's like how if you take out the inconveniences of Animal Crossing, there's no game left. If you take out the anime of Kingdom Hearts, there's no game left.
Well, I'd probably still enjoy it at that rate.
Oh, man. So what do you think about the game Yu-Gi-Oh? What do you think?
We're talking about live reactions here.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of reading.
It is.
It is a lot of reading. A great way of describing this game is it's a card game.
Yes.
For Daniels. Because it is so freaking complicated. It was so much freaking reading and so many little minute things that all can tie into each other a million different ways. That, like, it's a job learning how to play this game and learning the cards.
Mm-hmm.
It has given me a new appreciation for Hearthstone. I already loved Hearthstone. Like, when I was playing Yu-Gi-Oh!, I just kept thinking, like, wow, I really appreciate how Hearthstone does this and this and this. Like, I understand these things. They make this card game for people who don't want to have to think when they're playing a game, or not think that hard, I guess.
So you're just talking about like the simplicity of the gameplay or the UI or both, or what are you talking about?
Both, yeah, just everything. Oh my goodness, there are just so many things. Like, I want to get into Yu-Gi-Oh! To be able to play it, but it literally would have to be like my main game for a really long time for me to start like getting stuff down. Like, it is not a game you just jump into.
That's true, I guess. Because like, to me, I knew the basics already because I played the physical card game as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I learned is what the different decks and different cards do. So if you throw out a card, there's like a 30% chance I'll already know what it does. And then for the rest of them out there...
There's like 35,000 cards, right?
I don't know. I have like...
Or 3,500?
Each card pack has like 300 and something unique cards. And I think there are at least 30 card packs or something like that. So yeah, there's a lot of cards.
So many. Oh my goodness. Oh, I'm sorry. 10,000 cards.
Yes.
I Googled it.
Now, a lot of them you will never encounter, or you don't have to know about them until you see them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are very simple. It's like, oh, that's a monster. And then some of them are like, oh, that's a monster. And there's like two paragraphs of text about what it does.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's a good way of keeping the game fresh, because you can literally play for... How many hours do you have?
Oh, like 200 or something.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's still like the occasion where like someone will play a card and you'll be like, hold on, wait, what does that do? Like, that sounds like an exciting... What?
Not
is
only
that not
the,
true?
Not only the occasion, but literally every duel.
Oh, okay. Like, I was being like kind with my expectations there.
No. So I've been playing a lot because, again, I just had my Switch with me, and I've started having enough confidence in the decks that I'm building. I'm finally like, okay, I finally like understand some of these newer cards and combos that I never used before, that I'm starting to go online, and I could never find players online before, but I realized I was just doing the normal mode, and there's a ranked mode where everyone is held to the same rule set.
Oh, so no one plays normal online?
I think on the weekends I found a few games, but then you get someone who has like a 10-minute turn timer, and it's like, what is going on here? But the ranked mode, it's all, you have the same amount of life points, it's all the same rule set, all the same timer and everything, so it's very regulated, and I've been finding people in the ranked mode all day, every day, and so I've been playing that, and I've been encountering some crazy decks. I'm like, I've never seen a single card in this deck, and they just did a combo with like 10 of them in a row, and I don't know how any of them work. And it's kind of fun. It's like crazy to like see someone set up this giant combo and then just be like, trap card, boom, I just wipe away like their whole thing they just did, and they instantly rage quit. I'm like, oh, this is the best.
Mm-hmm. It sounds fun for someone who can comprehend all that. I just get frustrated. I'm just like, oh, they played a thing. Time to sit. Okay, it does. Okay, hold on. Wait, what did that say? When they do... But wait, did they just... Well, let me read it a third time. Two paragraphs.
Right.
Oh, okay. I still don't know what just happened, but I'm moving on after reading a card text like three times. Three paragraphs.
Woo! That's fine to do that. You can just move on sometimes and just be like, I don't know exactly what happened, but I know I need to send out another monster to attack this guy.
And so it's like women, if you think about it. Sometimes you don't understand the card text and you just got to be like, okay, you know what? It's all right. I'm just going to play another monster. I mean, analogy kind of falls apart there.
You know what? I'm sorry. I love you. Here's a blue-eyes white dragon. Let's move on.
That gets them every time.
Every time.
Oh my word. I was so mad at that blue eyes dragon man. Just not knowing what I was doing. And he's just like, oh, turn one. Here's my crazy thing. Oh, turn two. I'm just going to play another one.
Yeah. Okay. So like, if I could extend an olive branch of peace over this, I think that you should avoid any of the later cards until you feel like you have a basic understanding of the game. And there's plenty of content in just that first anime worth of duels and challenges and everything to last you a long time. Long enough to know if you want to keep playing or not. And none of them get very complicated. The only thing is that the decks the game gives you in the story decks are like decent, but not really built to work together very well. So it is helpful to at some point be like, I'm going to try my hand at building a deck and just to get an understanding of like what's out there. That would be my suggestion to you. And I would be happy to help with that.
And you mentioned too, like another crazy annoying thing is that sometimes a deck that it gives you to play with doesn't really tell you what its win condition is. So yes. You don't really know how to play it. In right. fact, shoot, for the Blue Eyes White Dragon guy, you know, yes. he whipped me like 3 times in a row. And I was like, that was so hard. So mm-hmm. I did the thing where you flip, where you play as him.
Yes.
And you're against the deck you're using. I'm like, this is going to be easy. You know, that deck was terrible. And right. he was like pulling off combos. I'm like, I never thought to do that. Like, I wouldn't have known to do that. And he beat me. Right. I was like, another 2 times in a row. And I'm like, oh, okay. Apparently it was good after all. I just was playing it wrong.
See, but like, I guess when I've seen that happen online where I'm like, oh, wow, I can't believe this guy just did that. I'm like, wait a second. I can do that. And then I like go figure out how to put that into my deck. And I'm like, now I'm unstoppable. And like, to me, there's just, because there's so many different options and different approaches to it, there's just never like a perfect setup. There's always just like balancing. I need a little bit more defense here. I need a little bit more offense here. And like, just getting it so that you, when you draw those cards, there's just enough of like, you always get what you need when you draw.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You seem unenthused.
I just keep going back to the Hearthstone. Like, I can't tell you how much more enthusiastic it's made me about Hearthstone, that it takes these extremely, extremely concepts, difficult, complex concepts. I can't even speak right because of Yu-Gi-Oh! Can't even Yugi speak. It takes these concepts and it somehow transfers them into something like... Like, you're over here playing a card game with, I don't know, Stephen Hawking when he was still alive. And I'm over here with, like, a goldfish. And I'm like, this is nice. I like this goldfish.
And the goldfish just goes face and wins.
No. Oh, my word. Stinking. But for somehow, like, both games, you know, one is, like, a genius and everyone is a goldfish. They still, like, the goldfish does a really good job of still using the concepts of, like, one-turn KOs. Or, you know, Exodia decks, aggro decks, you know, control decks, mid-range. Mm-hmm. And just also being able to play the game on Hearthstone is nice. Meanwhile, in Yu-Gi-Oh! Someone can take a really long time with a bunch of cards on the first turn. That blows my mind that you can lose on the first turn if they just draw right.
Sure. I think what you're thinking of, like, with specifically with Exodia, that is, they have done a very, very good job of making sure that that is almost impossible.
Right. But like, you play like a bunch of pots of greed and stuff, which draws you 2 cards,
by the way.
Yeah.
But that card's just straight up restricted. You'll never find that online. That's a banned card. But anyways, yes, it is definitely possible to win on the second turn or third turn or whatever. And the meta, if you were interested, the meta is these cards called hand traps, which are cards that you can activate out of your hand on your opponent's turn.
What? Oh my. So you just have to have them in your hand?
Yes. So like,
wow.
Like in official Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments with a physical card game, like you have to have like out of your 40 card deck, you have to have like 10 hand traps because there's a chance that your opponent could just go first and just set up their whole board and you're just stuck. And so it's like you have to have these counters. So it's like in my drawing hand, your first turn, but oh, boom, I stop your combo right there. And like, I think that's a little silly. I think where the game has gone over the years has progressed to just be very silly. Mm-hmm. But coming from playing these games for years, like the earlier cards and the earlier strategies, I do find very fun. But I can agree that it gets a little nuts, a little complicated.
I am glad that it makes sense to you. Because you can understand it. Maybe I would like it more. I like the idea you suggested where it's just I stick with the first one, the first section of cards, and like that's it. Like stop it where the game was like as simple as stinking possible and just like get to know those. I could see me maybe learning to enjoy that at some point. It makes me sad that I have to say learning to enjoy something. Because again, it's a
when
job.
When you're in there and you're throwing down monsters and you're strategizing, like, is that fun at all in the moments when you understand it? Even if it's interrupted by frustration over not understanding?
No.
Oh. Okay. It doesn't give you the same feeling as Hearthstone at all?
No, you know that feeling? There's a word for it. I don't remember what it is. But when your brain, like, encounters new information, it releases, like, releases something.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. There's some way that the brain reacts to, like, being exposed to something new that you've never, like, heard or seen before. Mm-hmm. I know this in geography class for some reason back in the day, back in college. But it seems like my brain, when it gets that hit, it's like, it's almost like a panic attack.
Just terror.
Yeah, no, like actual panic. So when I'm being bombarded with things I don't understand, and like they take like research to learn, because these cards are like paragraphs to read.
It is astounding on some of the like real world cards, like how small the text has to be, because there's just
Think about that.
There's
you
just
can't
a
scroll.
Book written. Yeah, there's just a book written on these little cards, and you're like, oh my goodness, what does this card do?
Holy smokes. And our first opponent is now bringing out his magnifying glass in order to read his opponent's move.
Even the names sometimes get squashed because the name of the card is so long.
Oh, man. It must be difficult for the cards where it's like, when this is in play, it is known as such and such.
Yes.
That must be hard for real life, because I wonder how many times someone plays something and you're like, no, it's actually known as this right now. And they're like, sorry.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of rules in that game. I'm going to probably keep playing it. I'm having fun. For those
That's
who know
good.
Yu-Gi-Oh!, I made a Buster Blader deck, which was freaking cool. I have a Dark Magician deck. I made a Armageddon deck. It's all good. It's good. It's fun. Here's where I'm going to conclude my statements on the card games here. I obviously like learning the strategy and building the decks and testing the stuff. I like these kind of games. I like Yu-Gi-Oh! I would love Hearthstone. Except for the one major difference we have yet to talk about here.
Oh, I'm excited.
Which we keep coming back to every time this topic comes up, is that Hearthstone is really stinking
expensive. Yeah.
Whereas, literally, I spent all week playing Yu-Gi-Oh! I have built 3 new decks, just, like, on a whim. And I have, like, 1,000, like, literally 1,000 new cards that I didn't have before. And I have all of these options for these decks to build. And you know what? Tomorrow, if I wanted to build another one, I could go do it, and it's all free. And, like, the game is throwing currency at you with everything you do, and you can turn around and turn it into card packs, and the whole game is just one purchase. Like, I have spent, what was it, $40 or whatever, and bought the game, and that's just all I've ever spent on that game. I've spent, like, 200 hours playing it. And Hearthstone, it's like, if I started that tomorrow, I would not be able to build any deck. And I would have to work very hard to do it without spending money.
Yes.
Or pay lots of money.
That's the perfect comparison here, is they both have job aspects. You can either have the job of learning and reading the cards, or have the job of, like, managing your finances. You know, like, what is
like an actual job in real life?
Yeah,
I can go work 2 hours of overtime.
Oh no,
and then play Hearthstone.
Not like that. Sorry, like in-game finances. Like, I had to squeeze every ounce of value out of my in-game currency to get the cards, like, for free or a cheap price. You know, people complain a lot. Like, oh, you had to spend like $350 in expansion to get all the cards. So, as you know, I only buy, like, the $90 pack every 4 months. Mm-hmm. I have all the cards from the past, like, 5 expansions. Mm-hmm. I think people are just really, really bad at managing, like, the dust costs and the, you know, like, they want to keep the fancy golden ones. What I do is, because, do you know how the golden cards work?
I don't know anything about the card system in Hearthstone.
Okay. Well, yeah, occasionally you get a card that's golden, and all it does is it has an animated art on it. It's the exact same as a normal card. And
that sounds great. I want to keep all of them.
See, that's the problem. You can keep it and it'll look cool. That's all it does. Or you can disenchant it and you get the full value worth of what that card is. So,
as
say
opposed to a portion of the value?
Yes, as opposed to a fourth, which is... Let's not even go there. So say I get a golden legendary. I can disenchant that and I can go actually get a legendary that I want for the exact same price. But I feel like people are like, oh, but it's golden. I gotta have it. Or like, I want to have all the goldens. And to craft a golden, it costs twice as much. So you can either get one legendary for $1,600 or one golden legendary for $3,200, which is absurd. So like, a great way of managing your Hearthstone finances is just never keep anything golden. Like, I care more about being able to play the game than having fancy cards that do literally nothing besides look fancy.
Whereas when I play my card game, I don't have to choose between playing the game or or having cards to play the game.
But you do like, have to be willing to sift through just oodles of information.
But if the strategy is what I'm there for, then that is me playing the game.
That's fair. Just a lot. Just so much strategy. So much strategy. I like how it's basically putting simplicity at a price. It's charging for simplicity. It's like, yeah, you can play this very, very complicated game for cheaper, or you could pay more and know what the heck is going on every once in a while if you're new to it. Both, honestly, talking about this is really cool to hear about both have like a lot of ups and a lot of downs. Maybe you don't think there's any downs for Yu-Gi-Oh.
I think there's totally downs because I get it. Because it's like, I want to play with you and I realize that like it's impossible. Now, what you did message me at one point, like Yu-Gi-Oh is so grindy. And I wanted you to explain that because I didn't understand that.
Oh, yeah. That was talking about like, you know, I like to collect things in games.
Yes.
I would have to play a lot to get all the cards. You've played over 200 hours and you don't even have all the cards yourself yet.
Oh no, but I don't want if there are cards I want, I go get those cards, but there's well over half the cards I've never even seen before. I don't even know what they do, right?
Like, you don't want them even if you don't know what they do?
I mean, if I see them, I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. I want that one. I'll go get it." But like that process is constantly happening, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm having a bunch of fun with these cards and learning them. Like, cool, now I know how these cards work. It's like, meanwhile, while I was doing that, I played a person who had these other cool cards. I'm like, whoa, that was cool. How'd they do that? I'm going to go build a deck around that now. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of just like building one deck at a time, focusing on what's good on that deck one at a time. And then once I have that down, I've played enough to have enough currency to go buy another group of cards.
Okay. Yeah, I like my brain, I wouldn't want to move on to like the next group until I have every single one in the first group. And you said that like when you get down to the point where you need like those last like couple cards, like yes. It could take a lot of packs to get there.
So they have common and they have rare. That's the only distinction. And the rare are obviously much harder to get in the card packs. And so I was trying to get a particular rare and I wanted to get three of them, which is the most you can have. And so I needed to pull that exact rare three times out of a card pack, which was very difficult. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the game does tend to give you the ones you don't have.
That's good. That's
more
really
often.
Good.
It is slanted a little bit, but like, for example, I almost wanted to like screenshot and send this to you because I was trying to open the first pack in the game that gives you these Gravekeeper cards. I was missing one card. I didn't have it at all, and it was rare. I was only missing 20 copies of cards out of that pack, period. And I had to open them and open them and open them and open them. And I got one copy of the rare card. And then I finally had at least one of every card. Mm-hmm. But the final copy of that card that I needed was literally the last card I possibly could have pulled out of that pack. And it took me at least like five. Like I had 948 out of 949 or whatever. And I had to pull like five packs to get that last one. But thankfully, the packs are super cheap. So like I'm sitting right now, I just built two decks from scratch. So I had to spend a ton of currency. And I'm still sitting at like 50,000 currency. And most packs are 400 apiece. Mm-hmm. So like with 50,000, you could open literally 100 packs and still have leftover currency.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah. So like the game is very generous. It's just you have to take time to just hit A bunch and open a bunch of packs.
Yeah, it's just too much effort for me, I think, to get to the, you know, like, I'm fine with putting that effort into a game that I really care about. I manage my Hearthstone finances really stinking well. This is the first time, actually. They had a sale this week. They rarely have sales where, like, the cards are discounted a lot to what you can normally buy them. And I was like, oh, wait, I don't even need this. I have all the cards already. Like, oh. That's crazy. I don't even remember the last time I bought, like, you know, just like, give me 50 packs, just not counting like a pre-order bundle where they are discounted still. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it's a game I'm passionate about. So it's easy to put effort into it. It's just hard to force myself to go through so much work and brain power
to
What I wish I could do with Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like the one thing that Hearthstone has is the lending of a deck. And
yes.
So it's like I can build deck recipes for you,
but I don't have the cards.
You still have to go get the cards and assemble the deck, which is like part of me is like, okay, what if I just log in as you on my Switch and just play the game as you and build you a deck, and then I'm like, hey, you have a good deck. Will you play me?
Oh my word.
And
I
then
would.
You can
Yeah, I totally would. I would play it like enough times to where I get it down to know like what I need to do and stuff, and I would probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like honestly.
I should do it. I should just find like what is the bare minimum I need to just build like a decent deck, one that you can play through the campaign with without losing every time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could learn the strategy of that deck, and then like we could play a few times, and by then you'll have enough currency that you could like build a second deck if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is good news. We have spent so long talking about Animal Crossing, and we have spent so long talking about these card games. This is actually going to be a way longer episode than we've been doing recently.
I've loved every second of it. No, we're only an hour and 6 minutes in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's head on over. Unless you have something else critical to talk about, I'm going to jump over.
I don't.
Okay. Well, the best part of the podcast is now coming. This is the question and answer section. We probably should have looked at these beforehand.
I got mine. I'm ready. Here we go.
You've got yours. Go ahead.
I'm jumping into it. Remember, you can email us at patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com. So happy I can get that right these days. Howdy, patient players. Here are two questions for this week. Number one, this email is from Miranda. Thank you, Miranda. Uh-huh. Number one, would you rather play a multiplayer game or a solo game? And number two, what are some of the strangest names for cats and dogs that you've heard? Yeehaw. Miranda.
I feel like we've answered multiplayer or solo before.
That's what I thought too.
But what did we say? What would you say now?
Right now I would say that I'm not forced to choose, some things are only enjoyable solo and some things are better with friends. It's you know, I they're both so good in different ways.
I feel like every time you talk about your top gaming experiences of all time, it's always a social experience.
Yes, it's friends, it's goofing off and in a digital world doing fun things. Like I love that.
So I would agree with that, but I actually say I'm at kind of like a crossroads in how I'm gaming. I'm changing a lot about my life in general, but one of the things I'm doing is I'm trying to be more intentional about the games I'm playing, because like I'll look back and be like, oh, you know what, I just kind of did this for goofing off purposes and it was just hours of my time and now it's just gone. And like that's fine, like you have hobbies, enjoy the things you do, but for me personally, what I want to start doing is being like, I enjoy games and I want games to be my hobby and I want to keep playing them, but I want to like be like, I'm going to relax and play games for an hour, or I'm going to relax and play games for this purpose for a little bit and then I'm going to be done and do other things. And so like for that, single player games are way more satisfying, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like as I've fallen away from playing Heroes of the Storm like 9 hours a week because I was on a team, and as I've stopped playing like Overwatch a whole ton and moved away from all these multiplayer games that don't have an end, they're just repeatable ad nauseum, I've started to be like, I'm gonna play Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm gonna play Cyber Shadow, I'm gonna play whatever. And these games have way more distinct, like you're starting a level, you're stopping a level, you can pause in the middle if you need to. When you're done with the game, you're done with the game, and you're like, cool, I played that game, and now I'm going to move on with the rest of my life. And so I just bought all those PS4 games, right? Like all the Uncharted games and Horizon Zero Dawn and all this stuff. And like, honestly, one of the games I want to play the most right now is CrossCode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I forgot
that was a thing.
That was like high up on my list of games I wanted to play already. And then like hearing Keaton talk about it last week. And then I just bought a new, I haven't mentioned this because I haven't used it yet with all the stuff going on in my life, but I bought the new Xbox Elite controller.
Nice.
So I have the Series 2.
That's awesome.
It's still in the case, in the box. Like I pulled it out and looked at it, but I haven't connected it or done anything with it. So it's like pristine and beautiful. I sold off my old one and I bought a new one and I'm all excited to use it. So like I want to play a single player game that I can just put on my computer and it'll look beautiful. And I have my Xbox controller. I'm going to play it. And CrossCode seems like it's going to be super fun. So once I finish up Cyber Shadow and that kind of thing, I might move on and play that next.
That's nice. I think with me, I think a problem with of mine is if I'm playing a game by myself, I almost feel like I'm wasting time, which, I mean, you're wasting time either way, but like with friends, it's more justifiable in my brain. Like, oh, because I'm hanging out with my pals. So who cares if it goes late or long?
Right.
But if it's just me in a room playing a game, I'm like, there's so many other things I could be doing right now with my time. So right. Maybe that's why I like multiplayer games more, is because I feel less
there's
guilty.
There's more purpose to it.
Yeah, I feel less guilty playing them, which is really weird to say.
Well, if honestly. if you want to try my new approach to it, it's going to be like, if I'm playing games because I specifically want to be relaxing and playing games and enjoying myself for mm-hmm. a certain amount of time, and then when that time is over, I move on to whatever I want to be doing next, then maybe that'll take some of the guilt out of it for you. Because
I
did that.
I have time.
That's true. Cats and dogs. Strangest names for cats and dogs. I have a fun one.
Oh,
I heard this when I was a kid, so I don't know if my family knew the guy personally or if it was just a story that was like passed on. But there was a computer programmer who named his dog after the unit of like the 8-bit unit of data called a byte, BYTEE mm-hmm. or BYTE. So his dog was named Byte, and so he'd have a mailman come up. Or like a guest would walk in and the dog would like be excited and jumping on him. He'd be like, no, no, bite, no, bite, no, stop, bite. But they're just hearing the owner just say, bite, bite. And they're just like, ah.
Oh, no.
It's a very strange name for a dog.
That's cool. That's a cool story. I got nothing compared to that. I was just thinking Mr. Tinkles from Cats and Dogs, the movie. That's all I got. I want, mark my words, one day I will get one of those cats with the flat faces, and I'm going to name it, like, Professor Skittily Von, I don't know, something. It's going to be some really long name. It starts with, like, Professor.
I wanted to hear how that ended.
And he's going to be, like, all grumpy, and I'm going to be like, oh, Professor Doodly-Doo, you know, cheer up. And he's going to be like, meow.
What if he has, like, meow?
That's even better.
It's got, like, a scritchy old man meow.
That was a good meow, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Alrighty. Now, we have an email. This is a follow-up email after our wonderful guest appearance from Keaton. And I will read you this email from Keaton. He says, greetings, you good smellies. It is I, Keaton, the greatest friend who ever lived. I mean, he is hacker of the podcast, Keaton. You may be surprised to hear that I actually didn't hack in your email today. Whoa! Instead, he broke down its door, vandalized its house, gave it a kiss, and then left his email on top of its fridge, which is just slightly too short to reach without something to stand on. Okay, well, our poor email. Email, are you okay? You got to tell us later. I'm going to finish Keaton's email now. He goes on, today I want to talk about unreleased games. Specifically, I want to talk about how you follow unreleased games up to their release. For me, this has changed drastically. When I was younger, I would feverishly seek out any information I could find about the games I was interested in, usually in some sort of lengthy article about them in a Game Informer magazine. However, nowadays, with instant access to all information we need, and the fact that any popular game coming out will somehow get every aspect of the game leaked on the internet, before the game gets announced, I have had to be more selective about the information I want to read. All of this leads to my questions. How do you follow games? Where do you draw the line from teasers to spoilers? Do you have a specific method for avoiding spoilers? And do you think the game companies sometimes spoil their own games in trailers? If I'm being completely honest, this week's topic is actually an excuse for me to mention that Omori, a game that I have been following the development of for almost 10 years, somehow released a month ago, and I only just realized it right now before writing this email. Love, and I have to play this game right now. Goodbye, Keaton.
Huh. I had never heard of Omori.
Okay.
But it has very high reviews on Steam.
Well, okay, so quick shout out to Omori. It is a surreal, according to the wiki, the fandom wiki, it is a surreal psychological horror RPG maker game developed by Omocat and co-published by Playzim, which is fully released on Christmas last year for Windows and macOS. So it is a psychedelic horror or psychological horror RPG maker game. This is a very Keaton game.
I was about to say, yeah, this is absolutely Keaton.
All right, cool. So Omori is out there. But to the question, how do you follow the pre-release of games? This is fascinating.
Oh, Mario makes me think of Earthbound. Okay, pre-release of games. I get all my gaming news from Twitter. So it's literally just from, like, the, you know, the news sources and the companies themselves, mostly.
Yeah, just directly from the source.
Yeah, if not, like, E3 presentation. You know, BlizzCon is coming up in 2 weeks.
Like they'll ever be E3 again.
Yeah.
Yeah, BlizzCon will be a good source of news because of all the Blizzard games that we like. But so you just, whatever they send you, you take it?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
Have you ever been, like, disappointed? That's like, oh, man, like, that's really cool. I wish I had just, like, seen that myself.
I don't know. Because, you know, I seen it. So I can't really think to be like, oh, I wish I hadn't have seen that. Or I wonder what that had been like if I hadn't seen that when it did happen. Like, the Bowser's Fury DLC content-ish. Like, I feel like they've shown off, like, 90% of what that's going to be. And that's, I'd say that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, like, okay. If you haven't seen the Bowser's Fury DLC reveal trailer, like what it actually looks like, I'm going to talk about it, and it has massive spoilers, which are relevant to this conversation, so I'm going to mention them. So, like, I guess skip if you don't want. But, like, at a certain point, like, this is an official Nintendo Mario game, and Mario gets a power-up that turns him into a giant Super Saiyan cat. Like, that is one of the most astounding Nintendo things I could have possibly seen on a screen, and yet they just threw it in a trailer, and I'm like, that takes all the oomph out of it. Like, can you imagine if you're sitting there playing, you're like, man, this game's so good, I'm enjoying it, and you're like, oh, Bowser's coming, what's gonna happen? And then you touch this power-up, and you're like,
yeah,
I can't believe my eyes. I have to screenshot it, I have to text Jordan and be like, there's a Super Saiyan cat, Mario. Like,
that's a perfect example. Oh, my word.
I'm kind of grumpy that I saw that. Like, just let it be cool in the game. Like, can you imagine if, like, Nier Automata had, like, put a bunch of stuff in the trailers that was like all the end game stuff, and you just be like, what is going on?
That game is so confusing to me that I probably still would have known what was going on.
That's true.
That's like totally the Yu-Gi-Oh fair. of what is that, RPG?
it's an action RPG, sure.
Action RPG, yeah. Woo. Man, I tried watching some videos on that story. I gave up.
Don't worry, I'll explain them all to you after the podcast.
Woo, boy. But yeah, Bowser's Fury, I think, is a perfect example where I guess it would have been, like, really cool to experience that, but it's more fun to be hyped for something, and for me at least, and to watch everything on it online besides, like, gameplay. Like, I stop at people playing through games. I don't want to do that. I'll watch trailers, I'll read, like, tweets and announcement videos, but I won't, like, see someone play like an intro to a game.
Sure.
That's a little too much. Like, I want to be able to experience it.
That's interesting. Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that you have that line drawn there?
Because that's, like, actual... That's, like, what you're actually going to play through. And, like, you're going to do that at some point anyways. Meanwhile, a trailer is, like, splices. Very short splices from across the game. I don't know.
So, in my mind, like, what that sets you up for is because you get all your news straight from the publisher and you're only watching the official trailer content... It sets you up to only be fed the info that they want you to know about the game and missing out on honest opinions of people who have actually played the games.
Oh, I'll do reviews. I'm saying like a let's play. I won't watch a let's play of a game.
Sure.
But yeah, I like reviews. And again, I follow lots of news sources too, where they'll be like, we played so-and-so and here's our thoughts. And I'll just like skip to the end to see like what they gave it.
Oh, you're one of those people. You're one of the number people that don't actually hear the opinion.
Well, that's because that's like also for spoiler reasons. Like, I don't want to hear about like the mechanics.
That's fair. That's fair. Like when I talk about Cyber Shadow and talk about all the upgrades that you get.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah. So I have taken a new approach as of a few years ago of just the bare minimum that I need to be interested. And after that, only if I'm, like, dying for news do I get any more news. And it's been really great. I love it. And I started this with movies. I actually started this with movies around the time that the very, very popular Christian Bale Batman trilogy came out. Because my older sister was absolutely in love with those films. They were, like, her favorite thing in the world. And there was so much hype leading up to, was it Dark Knight Rises was the third one? And everyone thought it was going to be, like, the second coming of Christ, like, just the most beautiful, amazing movie ever made. And I went to it and I had zero expectations. Like, I hadn't seen the trailers, or I'd seen like TV commercials maybe, but like, I was like, cool, let's go see a Batman movie. I like the other two. This one's probably going to be good. And I was walking out of the theater and I was like, that was really good. Like, I really liked that movie. That was an awesome movie. And my sister was walking with me and she was like, yeah, but it just wasn't what I thought it would be. And like, she was genuinely disappointed because she had hyped it up as like the most important thing ever. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking out of the theater that day being like, man, having no expectations is great. Like, everything exceeds expectations when you have no expectations. And so every movie I go to, I try to know as little as possible. And I try to just be like, I want to see it. And then I'm always happy with it. Like, my wife and I both do this now together. And it sucks because we'll go to a movie with trailers and then they'll start playing trailers for movies we want to go see. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to watch the trailers because they are notorious for giving away everything in the trailer. Yeah. Like, even if it's a good trailer, they at least give away the setup, which is the whole first third of the movie. It's like, I don't want to know that this person gets superpowers, because like, even if that's the plot of the movie, like, it's cool to see that happen in the actual movie.
That does sound cool. You're like describing a feeling that I have no idea what it's like, because when I'm into something, I absolutely over hyperanalyze every bit of information on it.
Can I tell you, okay, can I give you an example of going into a movie unspoiled by spoiling a really good movie?
Sure.
Okay. There is a movie called Bernie that came out, I don't know, like, I think I watched it like 8 years ago or something, maybe like 6 years ago.
Does he have mittens?
It's not that Bernie. No, okay. Different Bernie. Now, if you've not seen Bernie and you like Southern character, like East Texas characters, it's really good. I'm going to say go watch it without knowing anything about it. That is critical. It makes the movie so much better. And that's what I did. And it was amazing. And that's what I made my wife do. And she loves it. And we suggest this to everyone. Like, just go watch the movie. It's good. Now, skip past this part of the podcast, because I'm going to talk about the setup for what the movie's about. Because if you know what the movie's about, it's totally different.
Okay.
The movie is a retelling of an actual story that, like, it's a historical fiction of something that actually happened.
Oh, historical fiction.
In East Texas, where it's about a murder trial. It's about a man who stays and lives with a very wealthy woman who is very nasty but has a lot of money, and he's a very kind man, and the whole town, this little small East Texas town, loves him. He's amazing. And then he has like a breakdown with this woman and he just straight up shoots her. And then he hides her body in a freezer and he just pretends she's still alive for like a long time. And it's the story about all these characters. And in the movie, the actual townspeople who lived there and were part of the story have interviews. Like, the actors aren't actors. They're the actual people from the town. There's only like four actors. One of them is Jack Black, who plays the main character. And it's amazing. And Jack Black actually met with the dude in prison and like learned about his life and his mannerisms. And it's amazing. It's a super good movie. But like, if you don't know that that's what it's about, you're just watching this like East Texas little drama and you're like, you don't know it's a murder case. Mm-hmm. And so you're just like, oh, la la la, Bernie and this woman and she's real nasty, and like, holy crap, he shot her. Like, it's the most astounding moment in the movie, and you're like, what's gonna happen next? But if you go into it knowing it's about a guy who shot a woman was on murder trial, like, you're just waiting for that moment the whole movie.
Yeah.
And ever since that movie, I'm like, I don't want to know anything about a movie when I go watch it. And so, like, especially with like Pixar movies, they'll be like, oh, coming soon, like Pixar movie. Me and my wife will literally like close our eyes and go la 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 until the trailer's over, because we don't want to know what it's about. We want to go in completely blind.
Oh, that's great.
I didn't even know Onward was about the dude's dad.
That's cool. That is, man, you're making me want, I want there to be something I'm excited about so I can not know what it's about.
Just go in blind.
So I can try this.
Yeah.
Like I need to make, you know, if they drop like a Breath of the Wild 2 trailer.
Yeah.
I'll refuse to watch it.
Yeah. And just go into Breath of the Wild and be like, holy crap, I didn't know any of this stuff was in there.
Wow. That actually sounds really cool.
Yeah. So that's what I try to do with games. I'll watch enough to be like, am I interested in this game? Yes, no. But, like, I haven't seen a single piece of content for Evil Genius 2 except for the announcement trailer.
That's cool.
Wait, that's not true. I saw a Steam article about like the base building or whatever, but like okay. I don't know most of the stuff in Evil Genius 2 that's different. I've just been like, I'm gonna play that game. It's gonna be fun.
That is cool. Have you this is a little relevant, but have you seen WandaVision?
Literally today, I saw like 10 seconds of a trailer playing on a TV in like a building somewhere.
So you know nothing about it.
It looked like they were going through TV shows.
I cannot recommend that enough. So you're into Marvel, right?
Yeah. I like Marvel.
Oh, my word. Even if you do, honestly, it kind of is the same scenario where like I wanted to learn more about it, but they didn't really give you any idea of what's going on.
Which
so going
great.
Into it, what?
I said, that's great when they do that. Like, yeah, Pixar has started doing that. Their trailers don't even tell you what the story is about, and I love it.
I like that. Yeah, so I've enjoyed this show. Like, I cannot wait for the next episode on Friday because I have no idea what's happening, what's going to happen. Like, it is so cool.
Oh, it's a TV show.
No, yes, it is a Disney Plus TV show.
I thought it was a movie. Oh.
Yeah, no, so, like, it really was the coolest feeling, like, seeing a very, very small sneak peek of it before it came out and being like, I'm going to see this. No freaking idea what's going to happen, and it's been great. It's been so good.
Yeah. So, but with games, like, do that with games. It's so fun. You just go into a game. So, like, you can't do that with games sometimes because I don't want to go spend like $60 and then be like, oh, this game's actually awful. So, like,
right.
I like to know, is this game really good and why is it really good? Will I like it for those reasons? And then, but not know any specifics about like the characters or story or events. Like, I don't want to know that you get a cool upgrade to this gun. I just want to know that it's fun to shoot the guns in this game. And then when I get that cool upgrade, I'm like, I can blow through walls now. Like, it's just, that moment is so hype. It's so cool.
Great, great question, Keaton.
Fantastic question. Again, it's the best part of the podcast, even when he's not even on the podcast. Come on, Keaton. Leave some room for the rest of us.
And also, thanks for bringing up Omori. Not that I'd play it, but I definitely want to keep my eyes on it.
Keaton, I have a question to ask you for next week's podcast. Is it worth it to go back and play Earthbound? Because after playing Undertale, I was like, maybe I should play Earthbound because I like this.
It's interesting. Fun. Sending out a question at the questions and answer segment to Keaton.
Well, thank you for listening, guys. Thank you for joining us on the podcast on this episode 69. We made it through. We'll see you later on episode 70. If you want to get connected with the podcast, you can go to www.patientplayers.com/listen. You'll find links there for all the different ways to get connected with us, including our YouTube channel for the video archives, our Twitch channel for live recordings and Twitch chat, our Discord if you want to hang out with us and play games in the middle of the week. And other than that, we are a real small operation. We currently just have a real handful of listeners that enjoy us, so if you're one of them and you know someone who likes games, please do us a favor and let them know. If you haven't already rated us on your podcast platform of choice, go ahead and do that. That's a huge way that these podcasts get out to new people, and you can share this so that way we continue doing what we love to do and entertaining you guys, and you guys get to be a part of the community. So send us a question, patientplayerspodcast@gmail.com, or head on over to patientplayers.com/social, and we will see you around in a future podcast. Thank you, guys.
See you next week.
Crispy. Crispy.
Crispy, Jimmy. Crispy. Every time I drive past the house on my street, I go, Crispy house. Just alone to myself in the car.
Did I ever send you the picture of what that guy looks like?
You did, yeah.
Crispy Ottoman.